It's one thing to hear parenting authorities like us and others talk about the needs, the struggles, concerns, and solutions pertinent to raising teenagers in today's postmodern world. But it's quite another to hear it from the teenagers themselves. Does it really matter what they wear, how late they stay out, who they hang out with, or what they listen to or watch on TV? Well, we'll see what they have to say and unveil what today's teenagers wish today's parents knew about today's teenagers. That's today on License to Parent. License to Parent is the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, located just north of Atlanta, Georgia. Shepherd's Hill works with teens year-round in its residential program, and here on License to Parent, we'd like to take some of what we've learned inside the gates, outside the gates, so that parents can be equipped to raise their kids in the best ways possible. I'm Rich Rosel. Our host is Trace Embry. And Trace, I think we're in for quite a treat today. There's nothing better than hearing things straight from the horse's mouth. That is exactly what we have in store in today's program, straight from a horse farm in North Georgia, as a matter of fact.
Yep. And in the studio with us today are two beautiful and intelligent, dare I say wise, young ladies. We're going to call them Holly and Melissa. Holly and Melissa are currently students at Shepherd's Hill Academy, and they've both agreed to come on the radio with us today and share with our listeners some insights from the perspective of teenagers that will hopefully encourage parents to raise their kids up according to the same principles and mandates that have proven successful since the beginning of time. These girls weren't briefed on the questions we're going to ask them today, so the answers will be from their hearts, which, if I may say, have been transformed tremendously over the past several months. In fact, they didn't even know they were going to be interviewed until yesterday.
Okay, so this is very recent.
Very recent.
And let me jump in here. Ladies, is it true that you have not received these questions ahead of time, have not been coached by a member of the vast License to Parent staff, nor will your answers in any way be influenced by the promise of fabulous cash and prizes for making us look good? Is that true?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Well, as long as we've got that covered, that's good.
Well, Holly and Melissa, welcome to the broadcast. There's a whole nation of parents out there eagerly awaiting a word of hope from your generation. So thank you for coming on today. What do you think is the biggest difference between your generation of teens and teens of your parents' generation?
I feel like teens today, they don't feel like they're expected to be anything more than a lazy teenager just sitting around at home watching TV and playing video games. Mm-hmm. And like teenagers from years ago, they were expected to do chores and work around the house and do stuff like that. So it's like we're living up to the low expectations that we have on ourselves.
Striving for mediocrity.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Holly. Who or what do you think influences the attitudes and behaviors and the appetites of your generation most?
Celebrities.
Like what kind of celebrities?
A lot of music, like singers, and then a lot of actresses and actors.
Now, would you say that's true for you personally, or is that more an observation in the broader sense among a lot of your friends? Is music, for example, a very big influence for you?
Yes, sir. It's huge.
Huge. Okay. Do you play an instrument or sing or anything?
I'm learning to play an instrument. That's about it.
How about for you, Melissa?
I play guitar and sing, and music still is a huge part of my life, and it affected me a lot. Like, I would listen to music that made me feel the way I wanted to feel at the time. Like, if something bad was happening, I've listened to sad music, and it would just, like, fuel that, and it would just make me even more upset than I already was.
Well, you know, I talk to parents a lot about the importance of music and entertainment in general and how it influences our kids, perhaps more than parents influence their kids. They look at me like I've got three heads. Am I way out to lunch here, or is music and entertainment, music in particular, perhaps a greater influence than parents of kids in your generation? What would you say, Holly?
I think it's a huge impact on us, more than I ever thought before I came here, especially. So, yeah.
Melissa?
Yeah, it definitely is, because I did not really listen to what my parents wanted to say, and music was just huge, like I said earlier.
What counsel would you have for parents who don't seem to think that music is such a big influence in their child's life?
Definitely believe that it is an influence. Well, let me ask
you something about that. When you were younger, did you have like an MP3 player or something that was sort of digitally implanted into your body? In other words, it was always with you?
Yeah, we had me and my brother got both iPods the same year.
Okay.
And so whatever he would choose to listen to, he's 2 years older than me, and he really likes rap music. And so I would choose to listen to everything that he chose, and we would be listening all the time. Okay. We wouldn't want to go anywhere without music playing or playing a game or something like that.
Well, just for parents to think about this, I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong even with having an MP3 player, but it's constantly with you. Your parents aren't constantly with you. And so you've got, if you wonder about the influence of music, rent a DVD sometime and turn off the sound while you're watching an intense scene, and it won't look nearly so intense. Our kids in particular, but even adults to a large extent, now have a soundtrack to their lives.
Yeah. Well, how many movies would you not have cried at if it wasn't for the music in the background?
I cry at all movies, Trace. I'm sorry. But anyway, what you're saying, though, if I'm hearing it right, is music, because it's so pervasive and so much a part of your lives, is going to influence you. And Melissa, I think you were saying that you would sometimes, if something bad happened, you would go and find the music that seemed to go along with that. Congratulations, you're now a film score composer. You found the music that goes with the setting because it seemed right to you. And then, as you said, sort of fueled the same feelings.
Yeah, and I think that's a message that I hope that the parents listening to this program are taking seriously, because this is something we really drive home at Shepherd's Hill. And I don't think people really stop long enough in their busy lives to realize what kind of influence that entertainment, music in particular, actually has. But I want to go back to, we talked about the difference between your generation and as teenagers and your parents' generation as teens. And Melissa, you had mentioned the fact that your parents' generation seemed to do more chores, and your generation is more about entertainment, basically. What would you tell parents listening to the broadcast about maybe requiring their kids to do more chores? The kids that you hung out with at home, back home, did their parents in general make them do chores? Were they participants in keeping the household running? And how did they feel about all that?
Well, none of my friends had chores, and I would have to clean my room or something like that. But I feel like my parents have started to get me to do chores around the house, do laundry, dishes, stuff like that. And it just makes me feel more like I'm accomplished. Like, mm-hmm. I did this myself, and I actually obeyed my parents, and that felt good. And
part of the team.
Yeah. And so it wasn't like me separated from my parents. It was like we were all one unit and all working together to make our lives better.
Mm-hmm. And Holly, you may have a little bit different perspective on this, because you come from a great big family. I mean, you have a lot of kids in your family. Would you concur with what Melissa had to say about all that?
Yes, sir. I also noticed that just in my family in general, because the kids who were doing a lot more chores, like participating in a lot of the same things with my parents, they tend to get along better and do better even in school or in like with social situations than I did when I refused to do chores or when I didn't want to do that stuff.
Well, every generation has a place where kids meet and hang out. In previous generations, it may have been the malt shop, the park, the skating rink, wherever. Where is your generation's hangout place?
I know where I live, we just kind of walk around and we don't have very many plans. Mm-hmm. We just kind of are, you know, idle. Either we're at each other's house watching movies, or we're just walking around sitting somewhere, and we're not really doing very much.
Okay.
I think it's really ironic because our hangout place was church, because that's the one place we could get our parents to say, oh yeah, sure, you guys can go ahead and go there. So that's where we'd always like meet up and then go out from there.
Mm-hmm. And let me ask you this about church. A lot of parents would probably think that they're on church grounds, so naturally everything that goes on in church grounds is going to be holy, right? Can you give some insights to parents about just turning Junior loose on church grounds?
I think it's a really bad idea because when I went home...
bad idea. Listen up, parents.
When I went home for a visit, I actually went to a church cookout, and I hung out with some teenagers, and I saw them there, and I was horrified at what they were saying, and their parents walking around, but no one was really paying attention. They were really doing whatever they wanted, but they also said themselves, oh, well, my mom thinks I'm at church, so it's fine.
Mm. Wow.
I just like
making
to
my point.
I'd like to toss this in. I mean, I'm a few years past the teenage years, but when I was in youth group at my church, one of the classrooms was the designated smoking room for the youth. And I think the most people that I ever in my life ran across who were on drugs were in that youth group.
Mm. Yeah.
And well, I'm shocked even to hear myself say that again, but it's true. Yeah. It's true because there wasn't great supervision in that.
Yeah, some of the best dirty jokes I heard were in church. When I was a kid, I got sent to church a couple of times, and that's where I learned some of that stuff. But
while we're on the subject of church, let me ask you this. I know a lot of people, we've wrestled with our kids over the years about, you know, the importance of going to church or our making them go to church and whatnot. Are a lot of your friends resistant to going to church? Is there a battle between the parents and the kids in that regard, or are they all like you were saying, Holly, taking advantage of the fact that, well, I've got sort of unchaperoned time here at church? How is that battle playing out in your generation?
Well, I know a year ago I hated going to church, and it was mostly just because us as a family, we saw it as a chore, and it was an obligation, and, you know, we had to get up earlier than normal on the weekends. And I saw it the same with most of my friends, and it just wasn't, like, our heart wasn't into it. Mm-hmm. And we would zone out during, like, sermons and stuff, but once we actually started listening and getting something from the sermons and talking about it as a family together and making it more of, like, a personal time, that's when it became more like, okay, I may not want to get up super early in the morning, but I'm going to get something out of church today.
So you're making it your own, basically.
Mm-hmm. So should parents make that requirement of their kids, in your opinion? Is it better to say, yes, you have to go, or does that cause more problems than it solves?
I feel like it's kind of all in the way you do it. Okay. I feel like a family should make church a part of their priorities of going together as a family. But instead of just like going and then leaving, going out to lunch and forgetting about it, you should, it's helpful to talk about it after and actually kind of get the kids to put in their input about what they learned and just make it more personal and more in depth than just sitting there and listening to it and forgetting about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had mentioned, I'm going to go back to the hangout place, because I was really trying to lead you into something that you didn't get led into, but I'll coax you even more.
Go ahead and toss it out. We'll see if we want to jump on board.
Would I be right or wrong in saying that your hangout place is basically social media, Facebook? You can hang out from your little machine.
Or texting.
Yeah, I mean, or texting. I mean, you can still go to a physical location, but as far as just hanging out with your friends, that can be done with your little gadget. Am I right or wrong in saying that?
You're right when you say that.
You're definitely right. Okay.
And are there any advantages or tell me the advantages and disadvantages of that?
I think some of the advantages are you're able to talk to more people no matter where they are. Like, mm-hmm. Personally, I have friends all over the country, and so I could talk to some people we met, and we don't have to necessarily go to California to talk. But I know some disadvantages are that you don't actually see the people in person, and you're really just sitting when you could be getting up and like going and doing something like active with your friends or going and actually like spending time with them.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious about this regarding that. The answer that you just gave was a lot more than 140 characters, which is your typical limit to a text or a tweet. Would you rather text or tweet, or would you rather talk on the phone? And there is no right or wrong in that. I'm just curious. I've found with my kids, they'd rather text.
Considering I never had a phone of my own, I'd rather talk on the phone. So okay. I don't really know what texting is.
You haven't experienced it, okay.
Not as much.
Melissa, what about you?
I personally would rather text because I it's just my personal thing. I don't like talking on the phone, but yeah.
You guys remember a life without the internet or computers?
Not really.
I think that's kind of like Rich or me not remembering life without automobiles.
Or without television would probably be more appropriate for our age. But
My point,
TV was still black and white when we were kids.
Yeah, right.
So,
but I mean, my point is sometimes parents fail to realize that their kids, this is all they know. This is the only world that they know. And we still kind of go back to real face-to-face relationships and think it odd that we would text and misspell every word to get it out quicker. That's odd to us. But for you guys, it's just kind of like normal.
Yeah, I can't send a text without putting in commas and periods and proper punctuation.
Right, I'm the same way.
Which is why I can only say about two or three sentences before my text is over. And these girls could probably put in a few paragraphs worth with the other stuff. Tell you what, we need to take a break real quickly because we are running out of time. The program you're listening to is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, located just north of Atlanta, Georgia. And today we are talking rather candidly with a couple of young ladies who are students here at Shepherd's Hill, trying to get their take on what they wish parents knew about their generation. And we are getting the truth and, I guess, wising up ourselves, Trace. We'll be back with more conversation in just a moment on Licensed to Parent.
Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org. It's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're face to face with a teenager who argues with you at every turn. Maybe you and your teen can't talk to one another about anything without it getting complicated. For nearly two decades, Shepherd's Hill Academy has been bringing healing to teens and families from around the world. Up until now, that help has come through its residential treatment facility in North Georgia. But now, your family can benefit from that experience at home through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, designed to help you discern God's will for your family, build good communication skills, deal with defiant children, and more. Our family coaching team will work with you by phone, in your home, at work, even while you're on the road, to help your family develop a game plan to succeed. Sign up for Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching today by visiting LicensedToParent.org. Live the family life your family was designed for. Click on the Family Coaching banner at LicensedToParent.org.
Welcome back to Licensed to Parent, coming to you from a horse farm in North Georgia and trying to get the story straight from the horse's mouth, more or less, as we ask teens today what they wish their parents knew about their generation and how to make that relationship better. Trace?
Well, ladies, compared to when you first came to Shepherd's Hill Academy, how important is your family to you and why?
For me, it was not very important.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And why before. Was that, do you think?
I didn't really have a care of why or how they were feeling about what I was doing. I just kind of had my own little separate world from them.
What do you think caused that?
I isolated myself a lot. I would try to kind of go over to my friend's house more than I'm at my actual house, and just being let loose from the home and not required to spend any family time.
And what changed? How important is family to you as we speak?
It's very important because when I first got here, I didn't have a visit for almost 3 months. And so It was like I missed my parents for basically the first time since I was a little kid. And we just were more open with each other, and about everything was out in the open. We were just totally honest. And now it's required to have family time when I'm at home, and We have family dinner almost every night, and it's just awesome. It's just part of the habit now.
So your parents were kind of illuminated to the situation too, mm-hmm. and so they became intentional about spending quality time with you. Is that right?
Yes.
Holly, what do you have to say about that?
I think my view on it has changed dramatically. When I first came, I didn't feel like family was important. I tried to be independent because I'm in the middle of a pretty big family. So I felt like I was just lost in the middle. So I just try to like take myself out of the family. Like, oh, well, I'll be able to leave soon. I'm almost 18. Not really, but I try to think of it that way. And, but now I've realized, how much they cared about me and how much I do care about them after not being able to see them and seeing how much sacrifice, it took for them and for my siblings too. I saw that I thought they didn't care about me, but seeing how much they loved me throughout everything I was doing before I came and how much they love me now, even though I've done like so many things to them or whatever. And it's just now I feel like I cannot live without any of my siblings.
Is that a good feeling or a bad feeling?
Sometimes it doesn't feel so great, but it's a good feeling.
It's a great feeling.
Do you think on average that Christian parents are adequately getting the job done when it comes to preparing their kids to face a world that is increasingly rebellious toward God?
I don't really think so, because I've seen it where children, like Christians, were really sheltered as they grew up, and then they went off to college and they just went crazy because they had no idea what was out there until they left, and then the parents were like, wait, what happened? I thought I prepared them correctly, but they sheltered them rather than telling them what was going on but why they shouldn't mm-hmm. partake in it.
How about you, Melissa?
I agree with that a lot, because it was almost like they were sheltered and they didn't really know anything about the world, or that their parents they cared, but they just wanted to make their children happy by just kind of being, like, ignorance is bliss, mm-hmm. like not exactly knowing right. what's going on and being okay with that.
Right. And you're not saying that insulating them from the world is wrong. I think what I'm hearing you say is isolating them from the world is wrong. Because I think a mistake a lot of parents make, and you correct me if I'm wrong, is they really don't, they have this ostrich effect, head in the sand, that they can listen to Eminem, they can watch all the crazy sitcoms, they can, you know, R-rated movies. It's just not that important. And so their kids acquire an appetite for things that are dangerous for their soul and for their emotions and their minds. Comment on that.
I think it's really true, because I think since a lot of parents didn't grow up with the whole media and stuff, they don't understand how much it is ingrained in us. And so the thing is, it's just a little music, when we're like, oh no, it's like, it's our whole lives or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I agree too. It's like, it's so normal to listen to this music or watch those movies that parents just think, their kids are doing it and they go to church with us. That should be fine for her to go.
Right.
We are almost out of time. And that tells me two things. Number one, we'd like to have you back again for the next program so that we can do part two of this conversation. But to wrap up today, Trace, you and I have talked about this. But ladies, what do you think parents think they know about their kids, but probably don't?
Probably what works discipline-wise. Because for me and my brother, it's a lot different on what motivates us. Like for my brother, you'll tell him not to do something and he'll feel bad about it and won't do it again. But for me, it was like I didn't really care if I wasn't supposed to do it. And my parents would be afraid to discipline me or call me out on something because of the way I would react.
Mm.
And so like instead of tiptoeing around me, they needed to call it out on the spot and like give me a reason why mm-hmm. it was bad and show me what it's going to be doing to my life if I continue to do
and
it.
And maybe grow some hair and just do what it takes to get the job done, right?
Yeah.
Holly, what do you think parents think they know but probably don't about you or about your generation?
I agree with Melissa. I also think that a lot of parents think that we are honest when we say, oh, yeah, we're going to go do this. And a lot of time, because I know my parents were like, wait, what? You said you're going to do this and you went this and did something else. And I was just like, that's how it goes. But they expected me to be like completely honest with them.
So they're naive
yes,
in
sir.
A lot of ways.
Which I guess history would play out. If that happens again and again, you would suddenly realize that at a point. To turn it around then, is there one thing or maybe a couple of things that you really wish your parents got, that you really wish that they did know about you, but that they probably don't?
I think it's a lot of how much we want our parents to love us, which we really go against once we realize, oh no, our parents don't care. We feel like we shouldn't love our parents or whatever. But I think a lot of us actually do want our parents to love us. But then when we don't get the attention or the love that we expect or we think we want, then we start to push away from them.
Gary Chapman wrote the book about the five love languages, which was eye-opening to me to see that people view love in different ways. How would knowing that your parents love you, how would that have looked to you when you think back at that time?
What would they have done differently?
What would you expect to have been done differently?
I think personally, my love language is words of affirmation, but my mom's is physical touch.
Okay.
And I'm not a physical touch person at all, so she was trying to show her love in that way. And I felt offended because that's not how I accepted love or whatever. So just opening my mind and letting and communicating with her that that wasn't what I liked and that I like to be affirmed instead of touched.
Is she beginning to learn that over the course of time now?
Yes, sir.
That's great. What about you, Melissa? Any thoughts?
I feel like a big thing for me is how much time we spend together as a family. And so I haven't done the test or anything, but I feel like my love language is quality time. And so just how important it is that we do things together as a family and that we enjoy it. And it's not like just an obligation that we don't really want to be there. And so,
yeah, that's awesome. I mean, you ladies have you've done a great job, and I'm anxious to do this again.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies, and thank you, Trace. You have been listening to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy. As you know, just as we did here today on the program, and we've done it oftentimes, we talk about the challenges of digital technology, for example, and the damage that it can bring to the family when not monitored and managed properly. Well, we've got some resources on our website that we think might help you better deal with these issues in your own family, and they are available at licensedtoparent.org in the new Licensed to Parent store. Now, two of these resources that specifically deal with electronic media and music are DVDs. One is entitled Captivated, Finding Freedom in a Media Captive Culture, and the other is Hell's Bells 2. It's dealing with the power and the spirit of popular music, as Holly talked about today. We would encourage you to consider each of these for your own education and then when and if appropriate for your family to go through them with your own children to help teach them to be discerning in the choices that they make when it comes to the internet use, when it comes to the music they listen to. And again, you'll find both on our website at licensedtoparent.org. And in case you've missed some of our other conversations, you'll also find archives of our past programs and links to sign up for Trace's weekly parenting blog, Insight for Today's Culture. That web address, once again, is licensedtoparent.org. Along with Trace Embry, I'm Rich Roslin, inviting you back again next time to renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, as Holly and Melissa have already explained to you, if you don't train your kids, somebody else or something else will. God bless you. See you next time.